Oh, hello, and welcome to the Brothers Geek Podcast. My name is Patrick Schmaltz with my two brothers, Christopher Schmaltz. Hello, Christopher.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hello, Andrew. Andrew.
Good morning. Happy Sunday.
Good morning. Happy Sunday. It is November 15th. This is episode number 151. We are recording this 2 days after watching The Mandalorian. Mandalorian episode 3. We are doing our Mandalorian one-shots. So if you haven't watched chapter 11.
Aptly titled The Heiress. Which, if you watch the whole thing, you'll understand what
we should finish my warning before we get any further, but if you haven't watched episode 3, go watch it before you listen to this. We're spoiling. We are going to talk about everything, so please go do that before you listen. If you don't care, thank you for staying, and let's continue. So, chapter 11 is The Heiress, and we continue what happened last week with the Razor Crest is limping along to this planet. You don't know the name of this planet, Andrew? I feel like they said it like maybe once or twice. I'm sure there's people who know what the planet's called.
Trask.
Trask. Okay, great. Thank you, Andrew. And one of the greatest like Star Wars moments ever. I've seen GIFs of this where the frog lady lands. She's looking for her mate, and the mate sees her, and then they run to each other, and they hug, and it's just great like moment that's done through like weird masks, and it's like fantastic. It's like so cute. There's
a lot of chatter online about how there's just really nice kind of pure kind of loving moment between these two weird aliens that ever understand what they say. And it's like, you don't often see a lot of romance in recent Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
If it is, it's usually, I mean, it's Kylo and Rey, if you want to read romance into their,
and they have a weird, like uncomfortable romance.
Yeah. Like they're attracted to each other, or they're not, or it's on some level and then it's not, or they're linked by the Force, but then they're not, you know, stuff like that. So that particular moment is getting a lot of focus from this episode because it's just such people have nice romantic interpersonal relationships in the Star Wars universe, and we haven't seen that in a while. So that was that was kind of cool, particularly with this episode. And it came with two weird frog people. So,
speaking of frog people, I feel like we have to at least mention the stupid controversy, and I put that at the forefront. Stupid controversy over baby. We mentioned this last time too. Baby Yoda eating the eggs. The unfertilized eggs of these frog people, and people being up in arms about it. And like cancel culture. Like, I can't believe that's a thing, but cancel culture trying to come after Baby Yoda. And I think people are just like really upset that this like adorable creature and the implications of it, but none of these people are allowed to talk if they've ever eaten an egg in their life. Like,
It's just absurd. It's the absurdity of just wanting to, wanting to find something to bitch about. They're unfertilized eggs that are in a tank. He's objectively a toddler.
Yes. And he doesn't understand what he's doing. He's not an evil little shit.
Yeah, and it's not that big of a deal. It's just not. He's eating unfertilized eggs. It's the same as eating eggs for breakfast.
Well, you know I'm with you, but I have to quibble with the comparisons you're making because it is unfertilized eggs. The comparison on Earth would be unfertilized eggs of humans. Right?
True. They will eventually become sentient people.
It is a sentient being.
True.
Yeah.
True.
So,
so are you with them? Or
hell
you...
No, I'm not with them. I mean, it's it's darkly hilarious.
So that's
the whole point. It is dark. Dark, funny.
Yes,
it's great.
Yeah, you should just let it go. It's dark, funny.
Oh my god!
People are so like sensitive.
Dark humor. It's dark humor.
They are not. Image. He is not actually eating sentient beings because this is a show. It's a made-up show. Well,
the best thing,
it's a made-up universe. It's a made-up show.
This tracks with the super cute imagery of Baby Yoda from the very jump. Like, the second episode we meet him, like, you see him, like, he finds some, like, weird, like, desert lizard on that first planet they meet on.
A frog. He finds a desert frog, and he finds a desert frog.
And then that has that image of, like, there's two huge frog legs, like, hanging out of his mouth. Yeah. That he, like, instantly inhales. Like, the thing probably, however it gets, like, shoved into his tiny body. But, like, he had those, like, frog legs hanging out of his mouth. And then there's other things where he's just, like, the spittoon from Chapter 9 when he's, like, diving into the spittoon thinking that there's, like, food in there.
He's always hungry. This is the joke.
He always wants to eat, yeah.
And he's a meat eater. He's a meat eater that's always hungry. He tried to eat the spider eggs. He walks over to the spider egg and he tries to eat one.
And he's a baby.
He's a baby. He doesn't understand. Just let it go. So I will say this is, like, Hannah and I are watching this and it gets to the scene where they leave Baby Yoda with the frog people while he goes on his little adventure. And she's thinking to herself, oh my God.
Is
he going to eat all the eggs? And then it cuts back.
I had the same thought. So.
And it cuts back, and he's looking at the little baby in a bowl, and surrounded by the parents.
He's gonna eat the baby.
That's what Hannah's like. He's like, is he gonna shove that
put
baby
in his mouth?
The little tadpole baby.
That's so awesome.
I had a she had a tense moment of like, and then when he's taking, too.
That's so funny.
And then when he's taking the baby away, Baby Yoda doesn't want to leave. He's like, is it because Baby Yoda loves a little baby and is enjoying seeing it? Or Baby Yoda was going to eat the sentient, like, tadpole baby.
Yep.
100% Baby Yoda was going to eat the tadpole. There's no doubt in my mind he was going to one-shot that fucking tadpole his gullet.
He was going to
shove that thing down and consume it and then smile and, like, do, like, a cute baby sound.
Oh,
yes.
My God. So
Let out a baby coo of satisfaction.
It's so dark and so cringy and so hilarious.
It's so funny.
It's
so amazing. You got to let it go. You got to let it go.
Seriously,
so
don't
ridiculous.
Take it so seriously. Holy
Jesus
shit.
But it's funny. You're supposed to laugh at it.
And a lot of people did. I think it's just, you know, the whirlwind of the internet. It's like the 10% of
minority,
people who, like,
yeah, exactly.
Parents,
they want,
the Karens,
they want
the Karens of the internet want to speak to the Disney manager.
Well, and I don't even think,
Mandalorian
I think some
manager,
of it is, you know? Some of it doesn't even stems from, like, genuine outrage. It's like, how could they ruin my favorite character? He's so cute.
So, and
they,
there's a little,
like,
bit of
A,
that.
He's always been a carnivore.
Yes.
B, he's always looking for things to shove in his mouth.
Yes.
And C, you know, like, you're just looking for something. You want your tweet to get clicked on and liked.
Yep.
So you're posting kind of
like a lot of that bullshit. Yeah, exactly.
There is a lot of that bullshit. But let's get into more of the meat of the episode, I think.
Yes.
So they come to Trask. They have a really rough landing.
Yeah.
The frog people reunite. There's love there.
Yeah.
The Mandalorian is continuing his quest for other Mandalorians.
He gets a lead. He hears about a lead. He gets on a boat, which is kind of fun.
I love that even in space they have boats.
Well, this is kind of like, this is, what's that planet? I mean, anytime we've ever seen that planet, the clone planet, it's always like in a storm. It's like a water storm, but this planet seems to be covered in water completely.
It's pretty, you know, there's some dry land, but so on the boat, Mandalorian gets into some shit, people trying to kill the Mandalorian.
Everybody wants the Beskar.
It's like the most valuable material in the universe, and he's got a ton of it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So he goes full tilt trying to save Baby Yoda from a sea monster, and then other Mandalorians show up.
Yes. Yeah. This is where we get to have fun with our knowledge of Star Wars universe.
Yes.
It took me a second to realize that was like, it's been a while since I watched that Clone Wars season where they deal
Rebels.
With a lot
and Rebels.
And Rebels, yeah, Rebels? Yeah.
Because
there's one season of Rebels that's very much about Mandalorian culture.
Yep.
And it's
well, like the most recent
that heiress, that woman who's the heir to Mandalore,
the title of the episode, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She is played by Katie Sackhoff of Battlestar Galactica / The Flash fame.
Who voiced the character in Rebels.
Oh, really? Nice.
Clone Wars. Have you guys watched the most recent season 7 of Clone Wars on Disney Plus?
I started at the beginning. So I'm not going to spoil anything.
Yep. But that character voiced by Katie Sackhoff, Bo-Katan, appears and plays a huge role in season 7.
Oh wow.
Of the Clone Wars, and it's maybe my favorite arc. They really knocked it out of the park with season 7 of Clone Wars that just dropped.
Kryza? Yeah.
House Kryza? Something? Yeah.
So give me some backstory, fill in the gaps a little bit, because I watched a little bit of Rebels and I watched a little bit of Clone Wars. So what happens on Mandalore, and they even call Mando a watcher. You're one of the watchers. Are they referring to Death Watch?
I think that they are. So Chris, do you want to take? I can take this if you want. Yeah. In the Clone Wars, they established that Mandalore exists as a planet, right? Mm-hmm. And it once had a very violent history of super Mandalorians. It was a very much a warrior culture, mm-hmm. and then they got away from that and they established more of a pacifist culture, mm-hmm. and they were neutral. In the Clone Wars, they didn't choose a side. Well, they get caught up in things because, of course, that's how war works. It's hard to remain neutral when a war is going on around you. There was a sect of Mandalorians who adhered to the old ways, and they were called Death Watch. Yeah. And they tried to overthrow the pacifist government of
Mandalore.
Which
they don't take off their helmets. That's like the
Well, that's part of it. That's part of it, but the leader of Death Watch eventually takes off his helmet because he challenges Obi-Wan Kenobi to a duel for like the life of the Grand Duchess of Mandalore. So that goes on.
The nuance to the helmet stuff is that those are the people who are that sect, the breakoff sect of people who never take off their helmets. These people, and Bo, that's why she reacts the way that she does. They are like fringe nut jobs.
Yeah.
They are ultra like conservative.
Yeah. He's in a cult. He's in a Mandalorian cult.
Yeah, exactly. Interesting. Cult. Yeah. This weird little
and that's his only experience with Mandalore the way, right? This is the way like this ultra fringe. Oh wow, you're one of those who don't take off their helmets. That's their reaction.
Right.
And that's not mainstream in Star Wars universe for Mandalorian culture.
Well, and that's why Jango Fett, now we can start to understand it. Like Jango Fett took off his helmet in front of Obi-Wan in Clone Wars or Attack of the Clones, the movie, and it's like he's not one of those fringe nutjobs. He's a Mandalorian, but he's not part of the Death Watch fringe group. And obviously this fringe group survives. Part of this fringe group survives the war. And what happens to Mandalore eventually? Like what, how do they get kicked off?
Doesn't the Empire wipe them out? I mean, like lays waste to the planet.
Yes. The big part of season seven of the Clone Wars feeds directly into Revenge of the Sith. Part of the storyline for season 7 takes place at exactly the same time as Revenge of the Sith.
Oh wow.
So that all happens. The Empire considered the warrior nature of the Mandalorians, which had I'm not going to spoil it, but they consider them a direct threat. So the Empire essentially wipes out, just like they try to wipe out the Jedi.
They're a very powerful, very capable people.
I mean, just four Mandalorians together are able to basically take out an entire platoon of stormtroopers.
Yes.
Even the weak sauce stormtroopers that exist after the Empire has fallen.
And Bo-Katan has a connection with the Darksaber, right, Andrew?
Yes.
That's in the Clone Wars. I remember that having that in the Clone Wars.
So. The Darksaber is the ceremony is like the ceremonial iconic like thing that the head that the leader of Mandalore possesses.
Right.
So her house was the ruling house.
Like Excalibur.
Exactly. That's exactly the image. The king possesses the Darksaber because the original Mandalorian. So
the Darksaber that one guy has is this Mandalorian Darksaber.
Yeah, yes. This artifact, this thousand-year-old lightsaber that's been passed down.
That's the storyline convergence, right? We are headed to Bo-Katan recovering the Darksaber from this Empire dude.
From Moff Gideon and how he came to possess it.
Moff Gideon.
Yeah, because
that's where those storylines are going to converge, right?
Played by Giancarlo Esposito, who's like, he's a great actor.
I like that he has become like the big bad. Like he has the image of.
Well, we hear his voice. We see his like hologram in this episode. Like we haven't seen him since the ship crashed and he cut himself out of the ship. So
right. Just like the Empire, just like the Emperor was only kind of seen pulling the strings. In the original trilogy, definitely Moff Gideon is now, he's some high up figurehead. Obviously, he has some kind of direct knowledge and physical connection to either Force users or he wants to exploit Force users. Right. So he has some deep knowledge that he's trying to exploit by trying to find Baby Yoda. Mm-hmm. What I'm very interested to see is, and they touch on it, is the expanding kind of consciousness of Din Djarin as there is more than one way. This is the way, but there is more than one Mandalorian way. Like, he acknowledges at the end of this episode that these other people wearing Beskar and fighting with him are Mandalorians. His way of being a Mandalore or his particular sect of being a Mandalore isn't the only way. So he's, and even it feeds into the larger Star Wars idea. And somebody tweeted about this a few weeks ago and it like stuck in my brain. The Star Wars galaxy is as like a place, as a real place, is so huge and potentially so disconnected because the Empire has fallen, the indoctrination of purging the Jedi from history or whatever they tried to do after the fall. The Sith taking over and wanting to kind of rid the galaxy of the history of the Republic. Like, there's no centralized school system that teaches the history of the galaxy. It's like whatever exists on your planet, whatever you're brought up with, whatever's there right now is what exists. He was never taught about the Jedi, and we got bits and pieces of what the rebellion was about and what happened in the Clone Wars. So he's essentially been indoctrinated by the people who brought him up.
Yeah.
This really could turn into a story of the Mandalorian deprogramming himself.
That's right.
And that's going to be an incredibly interesting journey to witness.
Yeah.
I think.
I mean, you're reading between the lines a little bit, but I think that's totally right. I think that that's a really interesting storyline for him to go on, that he's starting to realize there's other Mandalorians. Like, they have a different way of looking at things, and maybe the way he has is not like the only way, you know. So it's very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, we understand the Star Wars universe very much in light and dark, and that exists polar, as opposites of each other. But the Mandalorians not being Force users for the most part. I mean, there's only been a handful of Force wielding Mandalorians, as far as I know. They exist more in a gray, just like real life. It's a more grounded way to look at the setting and reality of the Star Wars universe, because it's not, you know, your emotions directly feed your power to the Force, like a Jedi and like a Sith.
So I would like to comment on one more small thing that just for Hannah's sake, she didn't know what they were talking about, because she doesn't know about the larger story, or she hasn't watched like the Clone Wars TV show. Is like at the end they mention Ahsoka Tano in this episode.
Oh God, yeah, and, holy shit, and, that's awesome.
And we get the implication that he's going to go find Ahsoka, and Ahsoka is the Padawan, the apprentice of Anakin Skywalker, who becomes Darth Vader, And her journey of growing up and changing over the course of the Clone Wars is a big deal. And basically, and like, I haven't seen the season 7 that you're talking about, but I've heard that she goes through a big journey at the end of that, basically shoving off the Jedi completely, right? I'm able to say that because I haven't watched it, so I don't consider it a spoiler, but she's shunned the Jedi and gone to do her own way, her own thing. Some people on the internet call it a gray Jedi, where she's neutral.
She's a force wielder, but she doesn't strictly adhere to the Jedi path.
Yeah.
Because I think that we can agree that the Jedi lose their way throughout the Clone Wars and and the prequel trilogy. That's part of what leads to their downfall.
Mm-hmm.
There's two sides to that.
Right.
There's two sides. She is either a gray Jedi or she is the perfect example of what a Jedi should be.
Right.
Guided by her conscience, mm-hmm. You know, following the light as she understands it and embracing helping people around her. Like she
survives the purge. And there's probably very few Jedi that did. And we mentioned before, this is going to be played by what's her name, Andrew? Rosario Dawson. So she's going to be like an older, mature Jedi, very much so in her prime. How is she going to respond to Mando? How's Mando going to respond to her? What's going to happen when Baby Yoda meets this Ahsoka Tano? Like, what? This could be, like, I'm very excited about next episode. Like, very excited.
Yeah. So, the tease up. I mean, this really gets serious.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, it tees up what will be the sort of the key themes and storylines, it appears, for this season. I mean, the first two episodes were like, okay, like one offs.
Right.
But this one is, oh, holy shit.
It's kind of a one-off too, but they tease up the Mandalore extra Mandalore storyline. It tees up the Darksaber like conversation. Like Moff Gideon's in this. Ahsoka Tano was mentioned. It's just like, oh my god, like yeah, they're really. This is like a broader world episode. You know.
Yep. Yep.
Just as Mando is kind of expanding his point of view,
mm-hmm.
and the world is getting larger around him, I don't think that we will leave the Mandalorian and Baby Yoda as like our focal point for the series. I don't think we're going to follow Bo-Katan on what she's doing. I don't think that we'll end up kind of having disparate plot threads. That I think the Mandalorian will continue to be the center of the frame through the rest of the series. I don't think they'll ever get away from that. But it really tees up, and I saw something online about how, I mean, this is, they're in the really like throttling up the plot in what the plot of the overarching, I mean, the search for Mandalorians, getting Baby Yoda to his quote unquote, his people, because I mean, Mando doesn't understand that he understands Mandalorians all look the same because they're all always wearing their helmet.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's understanding that Mandalorians can exist in a different way. So the Jedi aren't this just race of sorcerers or whatever. It's going to be a disparate
who hate. What? Yeah. Why? Well, oh, that's interesting. Maybe he's only been taught that Mandalorians and Jedis were at odds with each other because the Death Watch and the Jedis were at odds with each other, but not necessarily the Jedi and Mandalorians. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I definitely think one of the themes are building on. I mean. And this kind of it kind of feeds into it, but doesn't. I mean, it's not a maturation story that we're looking at with Mando, like that, like Luke and Rey. I mean, there's definite threads of they're growing up in front of us. They're becoming full people. This is a story. This could be a story of Din Djarin, you know, deprogramming himself, and he embraced this way of living, and now he's going to realize that he can live a different way. He's still gonna, you know, be the man of honor that we kind of understand him to be, but it may be he's gonna deprogram himself and learn throughout this series what being a full person is rather than just being a Mandalorian. If that makes any sense.
Well, we started to see that too in like touches of season one, where it's like he's not just a bounty hunter out for money and goods and Beskar, because he turns in Baby Yoda, and then he chooses to come back and save Baby Yoda, and then,
yeah,
and then the whole world falls apart and everybody's after him, and he's got to go on the run, and he accepts that. But it's sort of like he, by the beginning of season one, he's just like, I'm alone. I just want to do things by myself, you know. And over the course, he's grown to love Baby Yoda, and it's sort of, even in this season, we see like Baby Yoda has grown to trust him. He is like gonna, whoever hurts Baby Yoda, he's just gonna murder them. Like, you know, that's this is he's on a different path. He's taken Baby Yoda as his child. You know,
I'm digging where it's going. If it if it goes a different way, I'll understand. I'll dig where that goes too. But what they're setting up, it's all very interesting to me. So beyond the fact that it's cool Star Wars shit.
Cool Star Wars shit. Dude, this episode is so much fun. Directed by Bryce Dallas Howard of, you know, acting fame. I think she directed an episode in season one also.
She did two episodes in season one. Episode. She did the episode
with the walker, the AT-AT.
Yeah,
right?
the Magnificent AT-AT. Seven episode.
Yeah.
She did that episode, which
I actually like that one.
I really like, it's great. It's a great episode. Yeah,
it's a lot of fun. I like the Magnificent Seven Samurai aspects of it, more than other people do. It's kind of tropey, but I think it's fun.
I like Western tropes in my sci-fi. It's fun.
Totally fine.
I have one other thing that I want to kind of touch on just because it's part of the conversation. So in the timeline of the series, Bo-Katan is conservatively in her mid-40s when The Mandalorian takes place. And Katie Sackhoff in real life is 40. I saw some chatter online about we in the Star Wars universe previously, and it's not like a perfect thing to say, but it holds true for the most part. We see people kind of when they're really young and they're heroic, or older and they're heroic. Like Ben Kenobi was in his late 50s, early 60s in A New Hope. And, you know, Luke and Rey are both like 1920 when we first encounter them in their first appearances in the movies. And Anakin is 10 years old, essentially. And we see Obi-Wan Kenobi kind of middle-aged in the Clone Wars, but seeing kind of a very capable, very in command, middle-aged woman in the Star Wars universe. We've always had strong kind of, you know, Princess Leia was 20 years old in A New Hope, and she's very much in command as an older woman in the sequel trilogy. But people, I've seen some chatter online specifically about kind of the middle-aged woman being kind of represented with Bo-Katan and how she's in command. And there was some chatter about how she actually still looks a little bit young. Did anybody bump on that in terms of like Katie Sackhoff's age versus the timeline, or did you guys not get into the weeds on that like I did?
I didn't get into the weeds. I felt like she was just a mature woman who is like in command, you know. Okay. I don't know what you're trying to like.
Oh no, I was just curious because there's people that are bumping on that in the terms of the timeline and thing and highlighting, you know, the idea that she may not look as old as her character is supposed to look. And they're
I think she's just an actress who takes care of herself.
Okay. Okay. You know? No, that was part of the chatter that I saw online, and I didn't know if you guys bumped on that or if you thought it was.
Well, how old should her character be? And she's
probably 40. Like 50.
Probably like. So they cast her a little young, probably because.
I mean, I love Katie Sackhoff as the casting. I have no. The only thing that I bumped on is my trivia laden brain immediately went to, okay, so. If this is supposed to be X number of years after this, shouldn't she look just a little bit older than she does? Because she looks great, but I mean, looking great at 40 is kind of different than looking great at 50. That's how humans age.
Right. Wait a second. 50. I mean, all of that debate is ultimately, this is my opinion.
Of course.
Is ultimately frickin' stupid.
Yeah.
Also a little sexist.
Because guess what? A year is an Earth year?
Yep.
And I mean, are all of that is framed by sort of our perceptions and sort of our understanding of how people age on Earth in fucking reality. Give me a break.
Yeah.
You're making a great point. This makes no sense.
Yes.
In the Star Wars universe, people who aren't fucking from Earth could age in different ways. And they do.
Baby Yoda is 50 years old.
It's such a stupid thing.
Yeah.
I hate that. This is another aspect of fan culture that drives me effing nuts. Everything is framed around like this overlay of we are all huge fans of this fantasy made up world that has no connection in any way to any reality. And then you criticize or you approach it from the perspective of, oh, but wait a second, she doesn't look old enough or she's not old enough. Or her perception is she supposed to be this many years old? Think about what you're saying. Year, define year. Please define year for me. Because is it a year on Earth? Or is it a year on fucking Mandalore? Get a clue, you morons.
Yeah.
It drives Chris, me nuts.
You're triggered, Chris. You triggered.
I wanted that to come out. I mean, of course, that's the valid, complete response towards
death. That's seriously right.
Be in love with it, engage in it in an active way. Don't be fucking ridiculous.
This is the guy. What was the guy's question? We went to a Comic-Con, and there was a guy who you were telling me this story, Chris. You were in like an SG-1 panel, and a guy like got up and he started asking a question about like. Could you explain their space travel? Blah, 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 and everybody started
contradict
booing.
Another episode, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. They started booing him, right? Like, that's the guy, but on the internet, no one boos you. Like, other people are like, oh, yeah, you're right, man. Oh,
let's attack this because I want to overlay my sort of
look frame, how smart
frame,
I am,
my reality frame of reference onto a made up thing.
Yes, yes.
Define your terms. Define a year for me. If you're 50 years old, define that.
Yeah.
Let's walk through your very detailed and quote-unquote intelligent analysis about this person who's supposed to be quote-unquote 50 years old. Let's walk through that. Define a year. Define a year for me. Because do we define a year on Earth? We define a year on Earth on the time it takes for the Earth to circle the moon once. That's a year.
Chris can't even
seeing red, everybody. It's fine.
He's so red right now. I love it. No, and I completely agree with you. That is the chatter that I was seeing online, and it's minor chatter, just like the Baby Yoda outrage of
Baby Yoda outrage. Yes.
Yeah.
It's just so many people watching this that everybody wants to get attention. Look at me. I have this great intelligent point to make about this made up bullshit. Thing in the framework of
the opposite of being intelligent.
Yeah, but they're trying to act like they are. This is like this idea of like,
and we're not,
look at
I
how
mean,
smart
we're not
I
trying,
am. Let me comment on this thing that I noticed,
and we're
and
not
see how
we,
cool I am.
We in this podcast actively campaign against gatekeeping in any form.
Yes.
Engage with the thing however you want, but at the same time, if you come at us with a bullshit dumbass argument, we're gonna blast you.
Well, yeah, if you're
just the way it is.
Yeah, if you're criticizing the show for like a name silliness, like then no one should listen to you.
You're muted. Any commentary related to she doesn't look like the right age. It's like you're an
bullshit.
Idiot.
Shut the fuck up. Yeah. Well, we even talked about that. Like, is Rosario Dawson the right age for where Ahsoka Tano should be? And you're right. You immediately said the same thing to me was, you don't know how that species ages. And I immediately was like, yes, You're right. I don't know that. No. I don't know how that's... I don't know how Mandalorians
just
age.
Just enjoy it.
She's not an Earth woman. She's not God, Earth.
Yes. Oh, my God. Yep. It's badass. That's
yes, it is badass. Yes.
She's an awesome actor. She's awesome, and we love the character. Great.
This is,
and,
this
the
is
and the universe is awesome. Just
this, this is what I'll say. That moment when they show up on that ship and they're like blasting people,
oh,
and her helmet looks so dope.
It's so
cool. Her helmet is like different. Like it's like she's got this royal armor or something. So cool. And I got chills. I was like,
no, it's
cool. Her armor looks cool. I love how all the Mandalorians' armor looks like a little different. Like they're similar styles,
but
it's
all personalized, right?
It's personalized. Yeah,
it's dependent on the individual that's using it. It's great. Yeah, that's why Boba Fett's armor completely doesn't fit. It kind of fits.
Yes,
you know, the Marshall.
I love the memes of like he's like this skinny guy.
It kind of hangs on him. Yeah,
exactly.
It doesn't fit him. It's not made for him.
Yep. It's literally like a knight suit of armor. It's made for your body.
Oh, that's a great way to. That's a great way to.
Yeah.
Sorry for my rant,
dude. Oh, no, that's exactly what it needed to be said. That's why I brought it up. It needed to be said.
Yeah. Thank you, internet, for triggering my brother.
Yeah.
Anything else? Should we do trivia?
Yeah.
Andrew, do you have any trivia for us?
I do have trivia for you.
Great.
And it is directly related to this episode and the episode's director, who Patrick referenced as Bryce Dallas Howard, who is she's extremely accomplished in her own right.
Love her, yes.
She has been an actress in stage and screen. She has now directed two episodes of, I don't think she's directed any feature films, but she has directed two episodes of The Mandalorian.
Mm-hmm.
So her father is Ron Howard, who has had a legendary Star Wars career, or Hollywood career, stemming from being a child actor. He was on TV, and now he's a very accomplished director in his own right. Has connections directly to the Star Wars universe because he directed Solo.
Mm-hmm.
There, in this episode, and it's been confirmed by Bryce Dallas Howard directly, that she references shot for shot a sequence in one of her father's movies.
Oh,
what she directly reference?
I think I saw
what
a meme.
Shot is it?
I think I saw a meme of this. So I might have like cheated a little bit, but not. Yeah. But I didn't know you were going to ask this, so I think it's okay.
I just looked at
the internet and
cheating is like last week when I actually looked it up.
Wow. Yeah, that's
during the episode. I totally own that. That is cheating.
Yeah, cheating.
Patrick, what you're talking about is not cheating.
The shot is from Apollo 13 with the ship coming in through the atmosphere is the Razor Crest coming through the atmosphere the same kind of way. It's like shot for shot, like it approaches the planet and then it hits the fire.
It's the re-entry sequence from Apollo 13 is the Razor Crest crashing onto Trask.
God damn. I'm gonna rewatch this episode because every time I'm definitely rewatching. It's so good.
It's a really, really good episode of television.
This one's really good. Yeah. Of the three we've seen this season, I think this one was my most favorite to watch.
I agree.
I agree completely.
Yeah.
So, is that correct, Andrew?
That's absolutely correct.
Yes!
Well done!
What you probably saw was there was someone who tweeted screen captures.
Yeah,
from this
episode, what I saw.
Is Bryce Dallas Howard directly referencing her father's movie? And she retweeted it and said, 100% yes, you caught it.
Wow.
She confirmed. She directly references.
Oh my God. That's
fantastic.
Dude, I'm totally rewatching that episode today. God damn. Yeah.
She is extremely talented, obviously.
Very talented. Very smart.
Yeah. And I think that they have got, so in season one, they had directors directing at least one episode. Most directors directed two. Mm. I think that they're getting away from that and they're doing one episode per director. Maybe they'll do it differently in later episodes, but the first episode was directed by Jon Favreau. Mm-hmm. Chapter 10 was directed by Peyton Reed, who directed Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yeah.
And
so I looked him up afterwards because I was like, Peyton Reed, I know that name. How do I know
exactly
that name?
Yeah. Bryce Dallas Howard has now done an episode in season one and now season two.
Is Taika Waititi going to come back? Because I love
they haven't announced him as a director of any of the episodes that I've seen.
So. I love Taika Waititi. He might be really busy with Thor, Love, and Thunder, though, so maybe not. So.
Yeah, I mean, he gets Best Picture nominations, dude. Taika Waititi is extremely talented.
I know he's gone from like a little tiny director to fucking
people want him to do all kinds of shit now.
Yeah, I even heard like the internet rumor that they're talking about him doing a trilogy, Star Wars.
I can see that.
Yeah,
there's always chatter about that until they sign him up.
Yeah,
and production starts. That's when I'll believe it's happening.
Disney's got their claws in him now. They are like, ooh, this guy, because they got him doing Love and Thunder.
Big budget movies, you got to talk to Sony, you got to talk to Warner Brothers, and you got to talk to Disney. Those are the three people you talk to now.
100%. Yep. So thank you, Andrew, for your trivia. Great job, as always.
Excellent.
Good job. If you'd like to help Andrew with his trivia, you should email him at kingofthenorth52@gmail.com. Email the podcast, brothersgeekpodcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at brothers_geek@twitter.com. Brothers Geek on brothersgeek.com. Brothers Geek Schmaltz on YouTube. Brothers Geek Do Stuff on Instagram.
We're on all the socials. Find us.
Find us.
We gotta figure out a way for you to shorthand that, Patrick.
Spotify. We're on Spotify. We're on iTunes. Right. We're on all the things.
Good work.
All the things.
Thank you for listening, everyone. And
wear a mask, be a hero.
100%.
I like to wear a hero, be a mask. That's
I know that's better.
I mean, yeah.